Part 3. I didn't expect you to challenge me so much on my request to come back alive, Tarsem Gao said to me as I entered his office after the rescue mission. Tarsem's private office was, as ever, cramped. After years in spaceships and their tiny spaces, Tarsem still felt most comfortable in close quarters. Fortunately, I was not claustrophobic, and I agreed with the political wisdom of his office being smaller than that of even the most undistinguished conclave representative. The office was even smaller than the one given to the human envoy, which I suspect might shock Ms. Byrne. Fortunately, Tarsem kept a sitting pedestal for me, so I did not have to crimp my neck. If you don't want me to almost die, you shouldn't task me to missions where dying is a real possibility, I remarked, sitting. Or, at the very least, don't put me on missions where the pilot is a mad flicked.
I could have Zim disciplined, if you would like.
What I would like is for you to give Zim a condemnation for quick thinking and admirable piloting, and never put me on another of Ziz's shuttles. Tarsem smiled.
You have no sense of adventure.
I do have a sense of adventure, I said. It's overawed by my sense of self-preservation.
I don't mind that.
Nor do you seem to mind testing the proposition from time to time.
I don't want you to be bored.
I am, alas, never that, I said. And now with chatty preliminaries out of the way, I want to impress upon you what an utter disaster this entire event has been for us.
I thought it went rather well, Tarsem said. The humans were saved. The Odiombo was successfully destroyed without collateral damage to headquarters or other ships. And thanks to the action of your mad flicked in rescuing the stragglers, we remain in the good graces of Earth, and even got a tiny bit of credit with the Colonial Union diplomats for rescuing one of their own.
A thin skin of self-congratulation on a rather messy pudding, I countered. Which includes the very likely fact of an enemy action against the Odiombo in our own space, which we neither saw coming nor could defend against, the fact that now we are no longer able to keep separate the humans from the Colonial Union and the Earth, as we intended to do for these discussions, and the fact that all of this plays perfectly well into the plans of those who are even now gathering against you in the Grand Assembly.
I seem to recall you arguing to save the human diplomats, Tarsem said, and me taking that advice.
You were going to attempt to save the diplomats regardless of what I advised, I said, and Tarsem smiled at this. And the decision to save them was more important than mere politics. Nevertheless, saving them will be seen by your enemies as proof of your regard for the humans, not a sign of basic decency.
I don't see why I should care how they see it. Anyone with intelligence will understand what happened.
Anyone who isn't blinded by ambition and frustration with the conclave will understand it. But those who are blinded will choose not to see it, as you well know. They will also choose to see colonials rescuing the Earthlings as hugely significant, which it is.
You don't think any ship so close would have made the attempt to rescue those diplomats?
No, I said. I think the humans might have made the attempt regardless. These particular humans, at the very least.
You think well of the colonials.
I think well of Ambassador Abumwe and her team, including their CDF liaison, I said. I wouldn't trust their government with a cooking fire, and I don't advise you do either, no matter what comes out of Ambassador Abumwe's mouth in your meeting with her.
Noted, Tarsem said.
Even the two sets of humans arriving within a certainty of each other will be augured as consequential, I said, returning to the topic at hand. And this was an easily avoidable blunder, as I warned you not to meet with the colonials.
And if I had not agreed to, then all the humans would likely be dead because our rescue mission might have failed. And you dead with them, I might add.
You wouldn't have sent me on the rescue mission if the colonials hadn't been there, I pointed out. And if the humans from Earth were dead, that would indeed be tragic. But it would not then be leverage for your enemies.
The fact their ship was destroyed in our space would be.
That's something we could finesse with findings and, if necessary, with resignations.
Torm Owl would not be pleased to be out of a job, but that's easily dealt with. This line of conversation is the sort of thing that makes me smile, when people who don't know you praise your gentility to me, Tarsem said. You don't keep me around for gentility. You keep me around because I don't lie to you about your situation. And your situation is now worse than it was when we woke up this morning. It's going to get worse from here. Should I send both sets of humans away? It's too late for that now. Everyone will assume you've had clandestine meetings with both groups, and your enemies will intimate you had that meeting with both at once, because they are functionally the same in their eyes. So no matter what, we're damned. Yes, I said. Yes, we are. Although, as always, I am merely providing you with information. It's what you do with it that counts.
I could resign.
Excuse me?
I said I could resign, Tarsem said. You said before that I was most effective when I was building the Conclave, when I was a symbol of a great idea, and not an administrator of a bureaucracy. All right, fine. I resign, stay a symbol, and let someone else be the administrator.
Who?
You could take the job, Tarsem said.
What in this benighted universe gave you the impression that I would ever want it? I asked, genuinely shocked.
You might be good at it.
And I might be appalling at it.
You've done pretty well so far.
That's because I know my talents, I said. I'm the advisor. I'm the counselor. I'm occasionally the knife you slide into someone's side. You use me well, Tarsem, but you use me.
Then who might you suggest?
No one, I said.
I'm not going to live forever, you know. Sooner or later, it has to be someone else who is in charge.
Yes, I said. And until that moment, I'm going to make sure it will remain you.
That's loyalty,
Tarsem said. I am loyal to you, yes, I replied. But even more than that, I am loyal to the Conclave, to what you've built. To what we've built, you and I and every member state has built. Even the stupid ones who are now trying to tear it apart for their own gain. And right now, being loyal to the Conclave means keeping you where you are. And keeping certain people from making confidence votes in the Grand Assembly. You think we're that close to it, Tarsem said. I think a lot matters in how the next few sir play out.
What do you suggest?
At this point, you have to take Ambassador Abumwe's report, I said. You have yourself locked into that action.
Yes.
Abumwe expects to make it to you directly.
She does,
Tarsem said.
I imagine she expects you will be there, as well as Vinok Oi, either in person or via surreptitious listening device.
She does not expect the report to stay private for long.
These things rarely do.
Then I suggest getting to that point a little earlier than expected, I said. You still think this is a good idea, Vinok Oi said to me. It's a useful idea, I said. This is a thing separate from good. Oi and I sat in the far reaches of the Grand Assembly Chamber, on a level typically reserved for observers and assistants to representatives, the latter of whom would occasionally swoop down into the inner recesses of the chamber, like comets in a long-term orbit, to do their representatives' bidding. Normally, when I was in the chamber, I sat on the center podium, as Tarsem did his regular question-and-answer period, counting heads. This time, Tarsem was not on the podium, and I wanted a slightly different vantage for the head-counting. The Grand Assembly Chamber was filled. Tarsem sat alone on the bench usually reserved for the Chancellor and her staff. For this particular address, the Chancellor had been demoted to her usual representative bench, and her staff milled at the level just below mine. I saw some of their expressions. They were vaguely scandalized by their demotions. On the level below that were the humans. The Colonial Union diplomat sat on the side of the Ark. The humans from Earth filled the other side. There was a substantial gap between them.
We still don't know what's in this report, Oi said.
A fact I find very impressive, considering who you are, I replied. Yes, well, Oi said, and made a gesture of annoyance. Obviously, we made an attempt.
What did you do?
We tried to infiltrate the Chandler's system, Oi said. We got shunted into a sandbox with a single file on it, with the title for Vinok Oi.
Dare I ask what was in it?
A video clip of a human exposing its posterior, and the words, wait, like everybody else.
It's nice they thought of you.
It's less nice that their computer systems are now firewalled too well for us to get into them.
You have other sources in the Colonial Union, I'm sure.
I do, Oi said, but not for this. This is why this is not a good idea, Hafta. You have no idea what this human is about to say. You don't know what damage it can do.
It's the General's choice to do it this way, not mine, I said, which was technically true.
Please.
Oi gave me a small look.
This has your smell all over it. Don't pretend I don't know who put this idea into his head.
I put lots of ideas into his head, I said, and so do you. That's our role. He decides what to do with them. That's his role. And look. I pointed. Ambassador Abomwe had emerged from behind the central point and was moving to the lectern that had been provided for her. It's time.
Not a good idea, Oi repeated.
Maybe not, I allowed. We're about to find out. The thousands of hundreds of species of intelligent beings quieted as Abomwe reached the lectern and placed, unusually, several sheaves of paper on them. Usually, human diplomats kept their notes on handheld computers they called PDAs. This information was apparently sensitive enough that Abomwe chose to keep it in a format difficult to replicate electronically. Next to me, I heard Oi make a sound of annoyance. It had seen the paper, too.
To General Tarsem Gao, Chancellor Ristin Laos, and the representatives of the constituent nations of the Conclave. I, Ambassador Ode Abomwe of the Colonial Union, send honorable greeting and offer humble thanks for this opportunity to address you,
Abomwe began. In headsets, her words were being translated into hundreds of different languages.
I wish that these circumstances were happier. As many of you know, very recently information has come into the possession of many of your governments. This information appears to detail both historical records relating to Colonial Union activity against many of you, and against the Conclave generally. It also purports to outline future plans against the Conclave and several of your nations generally, as well as against the Earth, the original home of humanity. Much of the information in this report, specifically information relating to past action, is true. There was an eruption of noise in the chamber to this. I understood why, and yet I was not impressed. Abomwe had essentially admitted that things we already knew to be true were in fact true, that the Colonial Union had warred against many of us and against the Conclave. This was not news to anyone, or should not have been. I scanned the room for the affronted, as opposed to the unimpressed. However, Abomwe continued, holding up a hand for silence, I have not come here to either justify or to apologize for past action. What I am here to do is to warn you that the other information in the report is false, and that it represents a danger to all of us, to the Colonial Union, to the Conclave, and to the nations of Earth. We believe, we have believed, that each of us is the other's enemy. Let me suggest today that there is another enemy out there, one that threatens human and Conclave nations alike. That this enemy, though small in numbers, has been extraordinarily adept in strategy, using dramatic action for outsized effect, terrorizing each of us, while allowing us to believe we are terrorizing each other. That this enemy means to destroy both the Colonial Union and the Conclave for its own dogmatic ends.
Abumwe looked up to her staff, two levels down from me, and nodded. One of them, who I recognized as Hart Schmidt, tapped the PDA he was holding. Beside me, Oi grunted and pulled out its own computer.
"I'll be damned," it said softly, and then was entirely lost into its screen.
"I have just authorized my staff to release to VNAC Oi, your Director of Intelligence, a complete accounting by the Colonial Union of our knowledge of this mutual enemy, a group which calls itself Equilibrium," Abumwe said. "This group is comprised of members of species unaffiliated with either the Conclave or the Colonial Union, including, prominently, the Array. But it also has active in it traitors from other governments and nations, including Tyson Ocampo, former Undersecretary of State for the Colonial Union, Akabe of the Air, Uter Novi of the Elpri, and Paula Gaddis of Earth. Their schemes include, among many others, a planned assassination of General Gao." The chamber erupted in chaos. I scanned quickly to where I knew Yunli Hado sat. He was up from his seat, screaming. Around him, several other representatives were screaming and gesturing at him. I scanned again to the Air representative Own Skaw. Skaw was pushing past several other representatives, trying to exit the chamber. Other representatives were pushing back, trying to force Skaw back into its seat. I glanced up to the humans. A couple of the ones from Earth were yelling at the ones from the Colonial Union. In the middle, three figures were leaning into each other, apparently conferring. I recognized them as Daniel Lowen, Harry Wilson, and Hart Schmidt.
"Oi," I said over the din.
"She's not lying," Oi said, still looking at its screen. "About the file, I mean. It's huge, and it's here."
"Send it out," I said.
"What?"
Oi looked up at me.
"Send it out," I repeated. "All of it." "I haven't had time to mine it."
"You didn't have time to mine the Ocampo data either," I said.
"That's not a recommendation for sending this out.
The longer you have it solely in your possession, the better position you give those who just now got accused that we are massaging the data in collusion with the Colonial Union. Send it out, now."
"To whom?"
"To everyone."
Oi's tendrils danced across its screen.
"I don't think this is a good idea either," it said.
I turned my attention back to Abumwe, who was waiting silently at the lectern. I was beginning to wonder if I should have assigned her a security detail. I also wondered when she was going to speak again. That, at least, was answered momentarily.
"None of us is innocent," she said forcefully.
The chaos began to settle.
"None of us is innocent," she said again. "The Colonial Union and the Conclave, those from Earth and those outside of our governments, all of us have people who saw weaknesses, who saw pressure points, and who saw ways to use our own ways and stubbornness against us. This threat is real. This threat is both practical and existential. If it isn't met by all of us are likely to be destroyed."
"You are the enemy,"
someone shouted to Abumwe.
"I may be," Abumwe said. "But right now, I'm not the enemy you should worry about."
She walked off the podium to a rising chorus of anger.
"How dare you?"
Yunli Hado spat at Abumwe. We were in the conference room adjacent to Tarsum's public office, the impressive one he used for formal events. In the room were Tarsum, me, Oi, Laos, Abumwe, Hado, Skaw, Byrne, Lowen, and Harry Wilson, essentially representatives of every group called out in Abumwe's speech. Tarsum had us all pulled into the room immediately after the speech.
"How dare you?" Hado said again. "How dare you question my loyalty, or the loyalty of my nation, to the Conclave?
How dare you suggest that any of my people would conspire against it, or conspire with you?
I didn't dare, Representative Hodo, Abomwe said. She sat at the conference room table, impassive.
I merely told the truth. The truth, Hodo said, as if the Colonial Union had ever bothered with that particular concept.
Where is Uter Novi, Representative Hodo? Abomwe asked.
Our information about him tells us that he was a diplomat of some note among the Elpri. If you doubt the information that we've provided, why not ask him?
I'm not obliged to stay apprised of the whereabouts of every member of the Elpri Diplomatic Corps, Hodo said.
That may be, but it's of interest to me, Oi said. And I've just looked at the cached version of his information. We have Uter Novi allegedly retired for several Elpri years and offered a sinecure at a research foundation. The Foundation's contact information for Novi has him on sabbatical, with no additional information.
Are you serious, Director Oi? Hodo said. The absence of information is not the same as the presence of information. I know Uter Novi. There is nothing in his past that even suggests he would act against the Elpri or the Conclave.
Not against Elpri, I'm sure, Oi said. But against the Conclave?
What is that supposed to mean?
It means that you have been immensely critical of the Conclave recently. It's not unreasonable to assume you are offering a perspective shared by your government at large.
I have been critical of them.
Hodo flung an arm in the direction of Abomwe, who continued to sit impassively.
These humans, who represent the single largest material threat to the Conclave in our history. Or have you forgotten Roanoke, Oi?
Hodo turned to Tarsum.
Have you, General?
I don't recall the Colonial Union pretending to be an ally, Hodo, Oi said.
Do that again, Hodo said, turning his attention back to Oi. Accuse me of treason one more time, Director Oi.
Enough, both of you, Tarsum said.
Hodo and Oi quieted.
No one will accuse anyone here of treason, or of faithlessness to the Conclave.
It's too late for that, General,
Skaw said, speaking for the first time. It glowered at Abomwe.
Then let me say it plainly, Tarsum said. I have not accused either you or Yunli Hodo of treason or faithlessness, nor will I. In this particular case, this is a statement that matters.
Thank you, General,
Skaw said after a moment. Hodo said nothing. Tarsum turned to Abomwe.
You've dropped a bomb on us, haven't you?
I offered to share this information with you alone, General, Abomwe said.
Yes, you did, but that's not the relevant part, Tarsum said. The relevant part is that you've accused us of having traitors in our midst.
Yes, Abomwe said. Traitors, and spies, and opportunists. And all of the above, in one or more combinations, just like we have.
Abomwe nodded to Burn and Loen.
Just like they have. But that's not the real problem, General. There have always been traitors and spies and opportunists. Our current problem is that all of our traitors and spies and opportunists have found each other and decided to work against us for their own ends.
And what do you propose we do about it? Oi asked Abomwe.
I am not proposing we do anything about it, Abomwe said, and turned back to Tarsum.
Allow me to be blunt, General. By all means, Tarsum said.
We need to be clear why I am here, Abomwe said, turning her attention back to Oi. I am not here because the Colonial Union feels fondly toward the Conclave, or because we believe sharing this information will allow our two unions to move in a more friendly direction.
Abomwe motioned to Hodo, who gave every impression of being offended that a human would dare to bring attention his way. Representative Hodo may be wrong about his obvious suspicions concerning this information, but he's not wrong that the Colonial Union has been a material threat to you. We have been. Thank you, Hodo said, and then immediately appeared to realize the inappropriateness of his comment. It's nothing I need to be thanked for, Abomwe said, and I admired the subtle stomp of the statement, adding to Hodo's embarrassment. I am merely stating an obvious fact. This isn't an overture or a thawing of relations. I am here because we have no other choice but to share this information with you. If we allow the Equilibrium's lies about our intentions to spread unchallenged, two things are very likely to happen. One, Abomwe motioned again to Hodo. He, or someone like him, would be demanding the Conclave attack and destroy the Colonial Union.
Which it could do, Skaw said.
We do not disagree, Abomwe said. But the cost of doing so would be high, and it would not be nearly as easy as some people would want to suggest it is. Despite the Colonial Union's current situation with regard to the Earth. She looked at Tarsum directly. Humans have a term called Pyrrhic victory, sir. Another such victory, and we are undone, Tarsum said. You're familiar with the term, then?
It pays to know one's enemy.
No doubt, Abomwe said. And no doubt you are aware that we know you as well as you know us. You could destroy us, but we would take you with us.
Not all of us, Hodo said.
We would take the Conclave, Abomwe said, looking directly at Hodo again, which is the only enemy here that matters, Representative Hodo. And that is the second thing. Once we have bloodied the Conclave, diminished its vaunted reputation of being too big to fail, and have bled the fear of it out into the vacuum of the stars, the Conclave itself will crack. She pointed rather than motioned to Hodo. This one, or someone like him, will do it. Especially if... During this struggle with the Colonial Union, the Conclave moves to bring the Earth into its ranks. We have no official interest in joining the Conclave, Loen said. Of course you don't, Abomwe said, looking at her. At this point, why would you? Because at the moment, you're getting the benefits of an association with the Conclave without any of the obligation. But if the Conclave and the Colonial Union go to war, you will start to worry that we will come to you and take what you used to give to us, soldiers. And then you'll ask to join the Conclave, and that will be the leverage someone like Representative Hodo needs.
Again, we come to my alleged treason, Hodo said.
No, not treason. Representative Hodo, Abomwe said. Allow me to give you the compliment of assuming you are too intelligent for that. No, I imagine you or someone like you will position yourself as the savior of the Conclave, someone to rescue it from the shadow of itself that it's become. And if you can't get enough members to come along... Then perhaps you'll break away with a few other like-minded nations and call yourself the new Conclave or something. And after that, it won't take long, because while you are too intelligent to commit treason, Representative Hodo, I sense that you are not nearly intelligent enough to realize how your ambitions outweigh your ability to keep 400 species together. Once again, bluntly, you're not good enough, sir. Only one person in this room is. I glanced over to Oi, who glanced back. I knew it was enjoying the dressing down Hotto was getting from a representative of the species he hated the most.
How arrogant of you to assume so much about me in these few ditto, Ambassador,
Hotto said. I didn't, Abumwe said. We have a file on you. She turned to Ska. And on you. And on every diplomat, for every nation we know has a representative in Equilibrium, including our own. It's all in the report.
I'd like to return to this report, Tarsem said.
Of course, Abumwe replied.
The existence of this report implied that you have a spy in Equilibrium and have had for some time, which makes me curious as to why you chose now to give us this information, if this group has represented a threat to both of us.
Again, I ask permission to be blunt.
Ambassador Abumwe, at this point I cannot imagine you being otherwise.
If Equilibrium had never done its own data dump,
we never would have shared this, Abumwe said.
We would have been happy to take the information and shape it, and Equilibrium, to our own needs. I reiterate that we are not sharing this information to be friendly, General.
Understood.
But as to our spy, the fact of the matter is that we didn't have a spy. Equilibrium made an error and took a hostage it couldn't control. That hostage was smarter than his captors. He stole their data and one of their ships and brought both to us.
Out of loyalty to the Colonial Union?
No, Harry Wilson said.
Mostly because Equilibrium pissed him off.
Before we commit to trusting this information, perhaps we should consider the source, Hotto said. Where is this so-called source of yours? As it happens, he's the pilot of the Chandler, Abumwe said. Hotto turned to Tarsem.
Then I move he is brought here for questioning.
It's not that simple, Wilson said.
Why? Hotto said to Wilson. Is he somehow incapable of taking a shuttle ride?
Wilson smiled at this, for some reason.
General Gao, Counselor Sorval, Representative Hotto and Ms. Lowen, allow me to introduce you to Rafe Daqueen, pilot of the Chandler.
Wilson motioned to the box on the bridge of the Chandler, in which a human brain had been placed. This seems familiar, I said to Wilson, as I stared into the box.
I thought you might think so,
he said.
Who did this to him?
Hotto asked.
Sir,
Wilson said.
Removing brains from skulls is a thing the Colonial Union does,
Hotto said.
It's notorious for it.
Are you asking me if the Colonial Union did this?
Yes, although, honestly, I wouldn't expect you to answer truthfully if it had,
Hotto said.
You could answer him,
Wilson said.
Pardon?
You could ask Rafe,
Wilson said.
Yes, you could,
a voice said through speakers.
I'm literally right here.
All right, Lowen said. Mr. Daqueen, who did this to you?
Put my brain in a box? That would be the group calling itself Equilibrium, Ms. Lone,
Daqueen said.
Why did they do it?
Tarsem asked.
Partly to trim down the number of working parts they needed to run the ship,
Daqueen said.
Partly to make sure I stayed in their control. They assumed that I would do anything they wanted if they promised to give me back my body.
Why didn't you? Tarsem asked.
Because I figured that they didn't have any intention of ever giving it back.
But the Colonial Union could give you another body, Hotto said. They haven't. They're using you like this Equilibrium group did.
They're growing me a new body as we speak,
Daqueen said.
It'll be ready soon. But Harry here asked me if I wouldn't mind being a part of Chandler's crew for a bit. Especially for trips like these, where people might need convincing that Equilibrium is a thing, and not just a convenient cover story for the Colonial Union.
If this is real, Hotto said.
Get some scientists over here to test me if you like,
Daqueen said.
I like company.
It still doesn't prove anything, Hado said, turning to Tarsem. We're being asked to believe this unfortunate creature isn't being coerced into saying these reports are his. We can't believe that someone in his position can be expected to say anything but what his captors want him to.
Captors?
Daqueen said, and the derision was hard to miss.
Seriously, who is this guy?
Representative Hado has a point, I said. You're a brain in a box, Mr. Daqueen. We have no assurance that you aren't being used.
Do you want to tell them, Harry, or should I?
Daqueen said.
For obvious reasons, you should,
Harry said.
General Gao, Counselor Sorval, you're aware that your Director of Intelligence tried to hack into the Chandler's systems when we arrived, yes?
Daqueen asked. Yes, we knew that, I said.
Of course you did. You know what Director Oi found, right?
Oi said it was a picture of someone showing their posterior.
Yep, that's called mooning, Daqueen said. I did that, Counselor. Not the mooning, for obvious reasons, but I have put the picture where Director Oi would find it. I did that because I don't only pilot this ship, I am the ship. It is entirely and completely under my control. The Chandler has crew and they run operations. You can ask Captain Bala, if you like, to confirm this, but ultimately they have only as much control over the ship as I allow them, because this ship is me, and I choose to help. Without my cooperation, the only way the Colonial Union can control this ship is to destroy it, and I'd destroy it myself before that could happen.
You still need sustenance, I assume, Tarsem said. Your ship still needs energy. You have to rely on the Colonial Union for that.
Do I?
Daqueen said.
General, if I were to ask you for asylum right now, would you give it to me?
Yes,
Tarsem said.
And I assume you wouldn't let me starve?
No.
Then you've just invalidated your own assertion.
But you still need the Colonial Union to get your body back, Loen said.
To grow a new one, you mean?
Yes.
Ms. Loen, there's a door to your left. When the ship was built, it was the captain's ready room. Go ahead and open it.
Loen found the door and opened it. Oh my God, she said. She opened the door fully so the rest of us could see. Inside was a container with a human body in it.
That's me, Daqueen said. Or will be me anyway once it's done growing and once I decide to put myself into it. Representative Hado, you can have your scientists check its DNA against the DNA in my brain here. It checks out. But the point is no. The Colonial Union isn't holding my body hostage. It's not holding me hostage. It's not coercing me. Now, you can still believe it or not, but at this point, if you don't believe me, it's not because we haven't made an effort to make it easy for you to believe.
Mr. Daqueen, I said.
Yes, Counselor Sorval.
You were the one piloting during the rescue of the diplomats.
Yes, I was,
Daqueen said.
We have two other pilots, but I was the one at the helm for that.
I know a pilot who called it an amazing piece of piloting, and wants to buy you several drinks to commemorate it.
Tell your pilot friend I accept, in theory,
Daqueen said.
The actual drinking part will have to wait.
Are you happy? I asked Tarsem, when he and I were again alone in his office.
Happy?
He said.
What an odd question.
I mean, did everything you planned for the day happen?
All I planned for was to have Abomwe give her speech, and that wasn't even my plan, Tarsem said. That was yours. So I suppose I should ask you if you're happy.
Not yet, I said.
Why not? Tarsem said. Abomwe's speech entirely disrupted the momentum Yunli Hado and his partisans had in pushing a no-confidence vote. The fact I assured Hado and Scar that I don't consider them traitors doesn't mean their reputations aren't irretrievably destroyed, even if they stay on as representatives.
I'm not going to pretend I didn't enjoy seeing Hado get crushed today, I said. That vainglorious martinet deserved the thumping. But now we have the somewhat larger problem that both the Elpri and the heir have been smeared with the accusation of, if not treason, then treachery of the worst sort.
And you know they're not going to be the only nations who harbor members of this Equilibrium group. Venok is sifting through the data right now.
You're worried about what's going to come out in the sifting?
No, I said. I'm worried that you're going to get accused of using it to start picking off political opponents, including entire nations. As much as I liked seeing Hado shut down, it didn't help that the Elpri, of all people, are one of the two peoples called out by name in Abumwe's report. No matter if Venok clears her entire report, no matter if all of it is unimpeachably true, there will still be those who will see it only as a chance for you to settle scores at a moment when you were vulnerable.
You ordered Oi to release the data to avoid that.
I ordered it to release the data so it didn't look like you were colluding with the Colonial Union, I said. That problem is solved. The other problem remains.
What do you suggest?
I think you need to address this directly and personally, and on the floor of the Grand Assembly.
And what would you have me say there?
What you said to Hado and Ska, I said, only writ larger, encompassing nations, not diplomats.
We're going to find traitors,
Tarsum said. Yes, but they are people. Individuals.
Individuals who might be able to persuade their governments to leave the Conclave.
All the more reason to make it clear that the actions of a misguided few don't reflect on the people as a whole.
You think this will work?
I think it's better than encouraging our members to start accusing each other of undermining the Conclave. That road goes nowhere we want to go.
How committed are you to this idea?
Tarsum asked.
Presuming the Colonial Union isn't running a long con on us, which is a thing you've begged me to consider, and so I shall, it's possible that entire member state governments are working to end the Conclave. We've had attempts before. We'd be allowing them to get away with it.
No. We'd be offering them a way to step back from the abyss before we tumble into it.
That's an optimistic way of looking at it.
It's not optimistic at all. It's giving us more time to deal with the problem.
And if we have no more time?
Then we deal with the problem now, I said. But I think everyone is beginning to realize just how close the abyss is at the moment. Very few people actually want to go in.
You are optimistic, then,
Tarsum said.
Because at the moment, I think there are still a few who think the abyss sounds like a very good idea.
That's why I want you to convince them otherwise.
I appreciate your faith in my abilities.
It's not faith, I said. It's trust.